ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनुमपि शचीपुत्रमात्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I've spoken quite a lot about materialistic people going on pilgrimage to tirthas, places of crossing, and most of them don't want to cross out of this material world, at least not immediately. But still, going to a holy place is a significant step toward crossing over, like getting prepared, you can say. Something like in a race, you may prepare for athletes preparing for a race. They spend so much time in preparation and then the race. There's something like that. They're not ready to cross over, but they're going to a holy place is helping them to get ready for that. And when they come back from pilgrimage, they come back with surcharged with religious enthusiasm, we would hope. Because on the whole journey, if you do it properly, you're supposed to be absorbed in thoughts of the deity and why you're going. And even they may go by video coach to the holy place, but hopefully the video coach is playing videos of the deities, the Ayyappa videos. I doubt if they play gross, sexy videos. So hopefully it's like the idea is to get absorbed in the thoughts, which one is not usually absorbed in. By the nature of this material world, one is absorbed in so many things which are superfluous to the real purpose of human life. And even though most people don't know what the real purpose of life is, or if they know about it, they think, well, later. Now we're busy with dharma, artha, and karma, and later we'll think of moksha. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that even beyond moksha is Krishna prema. So people may be a long way from that, and they may not even aspire for that, but simply by going to holy places, they make progress toward that. And the more you put into it, the more you get out. That's the general case. It's not true with everything. It's not true in every endeavor. There's a saying in English that talking to someone is like talking to a stone wall. So the more you shout and yell at a stone wall, you won't get, maybe the echo will be louder, that's all. So there are some people who you try and talk to and try to convince. Of course, if you're talking to them about Krishna, that's for their ultimate benefit. That's always beneficial for them. But in terms of, and actually it will help them on the path. But in material terms, if you're trying to convince, just like for instance, some time ago, some farmers went, not exactly on a pilgrimage, from Tamil Nadu, they went to Delhi, and they were trying hard and trying hard and trying hard to get the attention of a certain famous person who presently lives in Delhi, but he didn't respond. So it was Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam for them. It was for the purpose of fulfilling their purpose. It was a lot of effort, but nothing achieved. In that sense, spiritual life, religious life is different from material life. There is a saying in English, it's probably in other languages, a miss is as good as a mile. If you're shooting at the target, I'll explain it. If you're shooting at the target, you know, I have a target with all circles, and you're shooting with a bow and arrow. If you miss by 1 millimeter, or if you miss by 1 mile, it counts as a miss. You don't get any points. You missed. So a miss is as good as a mile. Either you achieve or you don't achieve. But in spiritual life, svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Neha bikrama nasho sti pratyavayo na vidyate. Whatever progress one makes, that is in one's, metaphorically, in one's spiritual bank account. And even at the lower level of people going to holy places for the sake of material, hoping to get material benefits, still something is there. Just as Srila Prabhupada said, even the primitive people in the jungle, they think when they hear the thunder and see the lightning and see the big mountain, they recognize some great power behind that. So that's a beginning. And Srila Prabhupada also recognized that people, they worship God according to any religious system. That's good for them. Now you may say, well, if you once chant Hare Krishna, that's a lot more valuable than following various Christian rituals for many years. All right, that may be true, or is true, but at the same time, by following those Christian rituals, that may help you to prepare for accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. And we practically see that in countries where there is a strong Christian devotional tradition, as differentiated from the Christian Protestant or materialistic tradition, that people are more in general, we find that many more people take to Krishna consciousness in such countries, that specifically in the countries where the influence of Roman Catholicism is very strong, and the Orthodox countries. Actually, in Greece, we didn't make any progress ever. I guess that they're too much proud of being philosophers or something. But so I'm told, in Greece, everyone thinks they're Aristotle's grandson or something, even though Aristotle wasn't from Greece, but anyway, he ended up there. So the very idea that there is God, a personal God, and we worship him, and in the Orthodox and Catholic traditions, it's more personalistic. In Protestant churches, they, in the low tradition, which is mostly, they deliberately don't have any iconography of any kind. Whereas in the Catholic and the Orthodox traditions, it's very prominent. And also, anyway, I shouldn't get too much into it, but the idea that there are, one of the things that Martin Luther, the first official Protestant, was very much against was the idea of sacerdotalism, which means priestly intercession. That there is an authority, there are priests and holy people, and you go through them to God. He was very much against that, which is very much in the Vedic tradition. You need to go through a guru. We also see that Ritvikism tends to be more acceptable or accepted in countries with a Protestant tradition. So anyway, I'm getting a little digressing here, as usual. I digress here and there. So the point is that people who go on pilgrimage, yeah, and you have hardcore Protestants, they won't go on pilgrimage either. It's me, the Bible, and Jesus, and that's it, theoretically. So people, they come back, if they, the more you apply yourself to it, the more you get out of it, and they come back with inspired, with a religious boost, and even they're thinking in a material way, that how much we're being protected and inspired by the particular deity that we've gone to have darshan of. It may not be so much nowadays, because going on Tirtha Yatra has become much easier and much more frequent, people can do. Because if you can get on a train and go somewhere in 24 hours, which previously would have taken you more than a month to go on such a journey, then obviously people are going to be more inclined to go on. People do go on pilgrimage more. And the whole ethos of modern life is that everyone's in a hurry to do everything, and they're too lazy to do. If you can do it quickly, then why do it in detail? So the facility of being able to travel quickly, then they want to jump around from one holy place to another. Just like I devotees living in the Gulf or working in the Gulf, Dubai and all these places. The way of life is they're working very hard while they're there, and they come back to India, and I tell you, you sit in one place and do some reading and chanting, but they can't. They'll plan in advance a program where they'll take an overnight flight and immediately, not to waste any time, an overnight flight back to India, visit their family for 1.5 days or something, and then cram in visiting as many holy places as they can. Maybe they'll only go to Vrindavan, but if they go to Vrindavan, they'll be out every day, all day, and visiting so many different places, and then get back on a night flight and get back to Dubai or wherever they came from. So, all right, okay, that's good going to Vrindavan, but the same absorption that one will get from going slowly, taking the trouble to meditate on what you're doing while you're traveling, maybe sit in one place and chant rounds instead of chanting your rounds on the bus when you're going from one place to another and catching up on your sleep while you're going from one, but it's not the same. So maybe the old, the old system slowing down. Srila Prabhupada was so active in traveling around the world, but his social message was to everyone, slow down. Go to the land. Don't run around. Stay here. Grow your food. Chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to read from his purport to Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 22 of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the several purports in which Srila Prabhupada discusses visiting holy places and the attitude in doing so. This specifically, Srila Prabhupada writes in a general way about pilgrimage places. Although we know that when Srila Prabhupada is doing so, he's doing so particularly in relation to Vaishnav holy places. So Srila Prabhupada writes, visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. And actually, that's been a major part of Srila Prabhupada's preaching to the Indian people. He wanted his great effort, so much effort Prabhupada put in for so many years, to get temples built in Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Bombay. And incidentally, in the same time, in Hyderabad. And there was offers of land in Chennai, Madras at the time, but Prabhupada said not to develop it now. We should develop these centers first. So Srila Prabhupada had the vision that if we have beautiful centers, very well maintained, that people will come and they'll be impressed. And it worked. And we find that so many people say, oh yeah, we visited your temple, so beautiful, so nice. The standard of deity worship, the kirtan, the enthusiastic kirtans, especially it's a big point of amazement for people to see Western devotees jumping and chanting in kirtan, and it really has made an impression on people's minds, and continues to do so. I'm continuing reading from this purport. Formerly, all rich men like kings and rich merchants constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord like the six Goswamis. And it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees, Anuvraja. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind. Now, I was just talking about our devotees. They're visiting like that. Now, I know they're going with a devotional motive, but there may be an overlap of, just like materialistic, say the average American tourist, they go to Europe, they go to Paris, they take a photo of themselves in front of the Eiffel Tower. They go to London and take a photo of themselves in front of Big Ben, and like that. So in the same way, it may be that our devotees, they're rushing, Govardhan, okay, and we'll do a parikrama. We don't have time. We'll take an auto rickshaw and do a parikrama, and that way, and take a photo, and bring some water from Radhakund. And okay in one sense, but the idea just, I went and saw sightseeing. We have to try and understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. And I'm not particularly blaming devotees in Dubai or anywhere else, but it's just because I've visited there so many times and then I have experience of that. But it may be from any other place also. But one must go to such temples and sanctified places, immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and be guided by proper men who know the science. And actually we do have, don't we, especially in the Vrindavan area, we have devotees who regularly take others around and explain. Dinabandhu is the most famous, and Indrajyamna Swami brings his group of devotees. B.B. Govinda, they take devotees around and then they stop and explain everything. And there may be so many others also, but I particularly know of them. So they stop and they explain everything like this. This is called anuvrajya, from the verse. Anu means to follow. It is therefore our best to follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because if you think, I'm going to Vrindavan, and this is Krishna's place, but still there, one should follow the thing. Well, I'm with Krishna, but still, Prabhupada says, it is best to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, even in such matters. One who does not move in that way, who doesn't go to holy places or who goes to them in a touristic attitude, one who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. So the power of movement should be utilized for going to holy places. Remember, these are directions particularly for the common man, not that the uncommon men and women, those who are spiritually advanced, should not go to holy places, but then they add to that, apart from the, we could say, the naimittic karma, or the occasionally done activity of visiting holy places, their nitya karma, their daily activity, is service to the Lord. So visiting holy places is good, but it's not a substitute for daily sadhana and service. We shouldn't think that, okay, once a year or twice a year I'll go to holy places and the rest of the year, as I'm going on and doing a little chanting here and there, but one is supposed to, if one is serious about spiritual life, one has to do serious sadhana every day and service every day. So one should come, one should rise above the platform of only going on pilgrimage or making the pilgrimage the central point of one's spiritual life. The central activity of one's spiritual life should be one's daily activities in Krishna consciousness. And of course, devotees, they look forward to visiting holy places, that's natural, but it shouldn't be considered as a substitute for daily sadhana. I've often noted that we have our Shravan Kirtan camps regularly in holy places. Sri Rangam, Puri, Mayapur, Rajamandala, Pushkar recently. And I noted how what we call the congregational devotees, those who are working in regular jobs, they seem to get more of a boost from these Tirthayatras, pilgrimage or journeys to holy places, and the hearing and the chanting and the kirtans and the association, they seem to get more of a boost than those who are daily or connected with brahmacharis living in temple or grihasthas who come, live close to a temple and come daily for hearing and chanting. Because what goes on in the Shravan Kirtan camp is basically what we do every day in our temples. And devotees become very enlivened by that, especially those who don't have the opportunity. It's a real step up, a real boost for them. But the best thing is to put oneself or arrange one's life in such a way that one can have the opportunity to visit a holy place every day by living close to a temple and to devotees who are also moving holy places. So I'll just finish reading this purport. The best purpose, Srila Prabhupada writes, the best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas, and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. Atheistic propaganda of money-making men, yeah. They want to... Yeah, the tendency to go somewhere and visit somewhere, they want to... The atheistic money-makers want to channel that into Disneyland and water world and zoos and things like that. But don't be misled. Go to the holy places. Reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 11, text 112, talking about the rules and regulations of visiting holy places. Srila Prabhupada writes, according to the Vedic regulative principles, one has to be celibate before entering a holy place of pilgrimage. Generally, people are very much addicted to sense gratification, and unless they have sex at night, they cannot sleep. The regulative principles therefore enjoin that before a common man goes to a holy place of pilgrimage, he must observe complete celibacy. And as soon as one enters a holy place, he must observe fasting for the day. So whatever time you arrive, you have to observe fasting for the rest of the day. I'm not sure if that it's allowed, or there may be different levels of fasting. Maybe after sunset you could take. And after shaving his head clean, he must take a bath in a river or ocean near the holy place. These methods are adopted to neutralize the effects of sinful activities. Visiting a holy place of pilgrimage means neutralizing the reactions of a sinful life. So that's important for common people. Srila Prabhupada is using the term common people. That's important for them because people are not engaged in Krishna consciousness. They are always performing sinful activities. Even unknowingly, they may be doing so. And although there are within the nitya karmas, the daily rituals of living in according to the Vedic family system, there are expiations for prayaschitta, for neutralizing these the standard sinful activities one does by, for instance, lighting a fire. You're going to kill some living beings. Grinding in the mortar. Preparing some idlis. You're going to, unknowingly, one is going to kill some living beings. So there are processes of expiation. Chanting Omka, for instance, when chanting the Gayatri Mantra, that should clear one of all sins. But Gahana Karmano Gatihi, what's going on exactly in one's karmas, it may be very difficult to understand. We find stories in the Vedic literature of someone saying that, well, for instance, why couldn't I get a son? I didn't commit any sinful activity in my life. And then the astrologer looks and sees, well, in your previous life you did something. It's very complex. A couple marry. And shortly thereafter, the man dies. And the astrologer says, I couldn't find anything in his chart that would say he should die so young. But he got affected by the karma of his wife, who has the widow yoga. She has to be a widow, so whoever marries her gets affected by her karma. So it's very complex. Therefore, visiting holy places neutralizes the effects of sinful activity. Not totally. Not totally. That discussion comes up at the beginning of the sixth canto. The only way to totally neutralize activities, sinful activities, is to remove the desire for doing them. Because it's something like you cut all the weeds right down to the soil level, but the roots remain underneath. There are some, and the evolutionists may have their theories how they came into existence, but there are some plants which just by pulling up, they'll just break. And they'll come up again. And break means the root is there. And even if you dig down a little bit, you'll find there's a whole network of roots underneath the ground. Very, very difficult. Very difficult to uproot totally so they don't come back again. And you must have such things in Russia also, I guess. That's my little experience of gardening from England. So it's like that. The seed of material desire, another thing, you may cut all the plants and they don't have deep roots, but the seeds are scattered everywhere, so again they come up. So practically, to keep the field full of weeds, it's an ongoing process. You have to do it regularly. Unless you do it regularly, then it's going to come back. The other way is kejit kevalaya bhaktya. Someone may adopt, a few people, not so many, understand it. They may adopt bhakti, unflinching, unmixed, unalloyed devotional service, vasudeva parayana, becoming completely attached to Vasudev. Now that's a very interesting thing, because if you become attached, if you think I'll worship Vasudev, Krishna, to get free from sinful effects, then you're not really Vasudeva Parayana. One is attached to Krishna, one is more attached to getting free from the sinful effects of sinful activities. It means there's still the desire to enjoy this world. But if one does that, aghangdun vanti karsneya nyena niharam eva bhaskara, then it becomes just another example as given, just like the rising of the sun dissipates the fog. It's the only way, actually. There's no machine invented, and it's difficult to imagine there could be any mechanical device to dissipate fog, which is, the fog may be spread over many miles. So what are you going to do? You see some big air blower or something, but if you blow it with an air, it'll just come right back again. And how much can you dissipate? But the sun automatically dissipates it. So continuing from this purport, those who go to holy places of pilgrimage actually unload the reactions of their sinful lives, and consequently holy places are overloaded with sinful activities left there by visitors. How about that? Holy places are full of sinful effects. It's supposed to be neutralized, but there can be an overload also. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bahu Shishya Na Koribe, don't take many disciples. According to your capacity, one should do. Not more, otherwise you get overloaded. How much can you handle? How much work can you do? How many sinful reactions can you take? Now this purport is in the section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes the devotees coming from Bengal to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Chatur Mas, and particularly to at the time of Jagannath Rath Yatra was upcoming. And Pratapa Rudra Maharaj was being told by Savabhaum Bhattacharya. Pratapa Rudra Maharaj was seeing them from a height, and Savabhaum was saying, "This is this devotee, this is Advaita Acharya, and this is Vasudev Datta. Here are all the devotees," introducing them. And Pratapa Rudra Maharaj was surprised how they hadn't followed the standard rules which everyone does when they enter a holy place, of shaving their head, taking not and fasting. But the devotees coming from Bengal to Puri, they didn't come to visit Jagannath to unload their sins on him or to get any material benefit from him. They came out of love. So if you visit a friend or someone you love, you don't shave and fast. Rather, they'll offer you something. Here, take some nice food. They'll be very happy to see them. So they were visiting Jagannath, they were visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted to see that they're comfortably situated and they have nice food. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged through his devotees that all their needs be taken care of. So Savabhaum Bhattacharya explained that these rules that people ordinarily follow, they don't apply to these devotees because they're already on the ragapat, they're on the path of love. They didn't come to Puri to get anything, but simply nothing. They didn't want anything material. They simply came to bask in the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all. So they're different kind of people altogether. I was speaking yesterday in the Hindi talk about how devotees are asamanya. They're not ordinary people. So devotees who go to a holy place, they don't share in the attitudes or motives of non-devotees. They might not do all the things that the non-devotees do also. They may or may not. They may do to a certain extent. But their whole reason for going is very different. Their whole reason for being alive, their whole reason for existence is very different to those even of pious materialists. Who goes to holy places? Generally pious materialists and some cheaters who want to take your money, some thieves, they may also go. But mostly it's pious materialistic people. So devotees, they're going on pilgrimage. It's very different to that of materialistic people. And it's important that the devotees who come to this movement, they read the books of Srila Prabhupada and understand all these points very clearly. That even though the life of a devotee in Krishna consciousness may appear in many ways to be like that of a pious materialist who performs puja, who goes to holy places, who does all these things, but basically his mode, the pious materialist is materialistic, and the devotee does everything. Krishna Pritye Bhogatyag. He accepts whatever he accepts and he rejects whatever he rejects, all on the basis of love of Krishna. That's all. So there's a very big difference there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha. patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.